Hi, parents. I'm Beth DeLashment, and I'm a lay pastor and counselor here at Dwell Community Church. You are listening into our parenting meeting where we discuss parenting issues from a biblical perspective. I'm so glad to have the chance to talk to you again. It's been a while. I must admit, I don't like talking to you on Zoom. I'd rather be in person. But I love talking to parents about anything and everything to do with family. Today, I want to discuss the topic of how to view and interact with your children's personalities, especially those irritating traits. I'm not going to take the time to teach a specific model of personality categorization. There are many models and people have their preferred ones. For example, there is the color test, the animal test, the temperament test. These models break down personality types into four distinct categories. The Enneagram has 9 different personality types, and Myers-Briggs has 16 types. So depending on how detailed you want to be or colorful, you will have your own preference. But if you're not familiar with the subject, I recommend you research this because it really is valuable material. I'm going to give you a general overview, but I want to spend most of the time that I have talking about a new perspective on personality weaknesses. There are not only different personality types, but each type has strengths and weaknesses. Dealing with those weaknesses is a main source of frustration and relational conflict with our children. And since you can't discipline your children into a new personality type, you need to find a way to relate that will minimize frustration and help you enjoy each child's unique personality more. I know from experience that embracing God's perspective helps a lot. I want to begin with making a couple points about different types. Some people really have a problem with the whole concept of personality because they don't like to categorize people. And yet, categorizing people is not the problem. It's what you do with this information that will determine the outcome of having this information. If you want to judge or dismiss or refuse to acknowledge growth in your child, then it is going to be a problem. And I recommend that you don't listen to this talk anymore. But if you want to increase your understanding and acceptance and appreciation for your child by understanding different aspects of their personality, it is a valuable tool. My oldest daughter and I are very different personalities, and we clashed a lot when she was young. We both benefited from being able to see our clashes from the perspective of personality, and it helped us to understand, better relate to each other. And today, now that she is an adult and a mom with her own two children, we are very good friends. So to gain and maintain an attitude of understanding, acceptance, and appreciation, we must remember that God is the creator of all the different personalities. But why did he do that when it causes us so much problems in relating when we're so different and we don't understand each other? God, if you take a minute to look at creation, you will notice that he is into unity and diversity because it reflects his image. What do I mean by this? The Bible claims that God is three persons and yet one essence. The three distinct persons of the triune God is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And they live in perfect unity as a community of love. Now let's stop and think for a minute. How much diversity within unity and unity within diversity we see throughout all of creation. We see examples of this in nature when we have such a wide variety of flowers, of fruits, of animals, of trees, even of snowflakes. Did you know that each snowflake has its own unique design? But now let's look at people. People are the same in that we are all humans. That unifies us. And yet there is much diversity. There are ethnic groups, culture, gender, appearance, as well as personality. And when people can be unified in our humanity and also respect, appreciate, and enjoy the differences, we know something is very right. And that is because we were made in the image of God. Taking this back to our kids' personalities, let me make 2 points. All personalities have different and equal, all personalities have equal value. Now, sometimes, because some personalities are more difficult for us than others, sometimes even our own personality, we tend to evaluate temperaments and personalities by saying some are superior and some are inferior. But if they're all created by God, then they all have equal value. And even those children that are more difficult for you to relate to, their temperament is not, not flawed or inferior to another one. And so a perspective change to have is to be grateful for all the personalities in your family. God wants to teach you all more about who he is as you learn to live in the unique unity of your family while appreciating the diversity of each unique person. Now let's move on to the second point that I want to make, and that is that each personality type has character strengths and weaknesses. No one personality is all, just great and pleasant and easy, and others all negative. Each personality type has character strengths and weaknesses. Let's look at these weaknesses first, because that is what I want to focus on today, because it is those weaknesses that cause the most frustration and tempt us to respond poorly. So since I said I'm giving a general overview, I'm using 2 terms that most of the models use. Extroverts and feelers, or describe those 2 traits in some way. And I have 4 different types that I'm going to describe: the extrovert and feeler, the introvert and feeler, the extrovert and thinker, and the introvert and thinker. Okay, so let's go over this quickly and see. The extrovert and feeler is your talkative kid. They will go on talking a mile a minute before you even have 1 cup of coffee. And when you ask them to get your shoes because they're so forgetful, which are just on the other side of the room, they start off in that direction, but end up in their room because on the way to the shoes, they got distracted by seeing a lost toy that they must go and hide right away. Some of the frustrations with this kind of personality include feeling like the life can sometimes be sucked out of you because of their need for attention. There can be fears that they will be kidnapped because they are afraid of no one and will talk to everyone and anyone as if they're friends. No one is a stranger. There are fears that they won't make it to their sixth birthday because they have zero to little impulse control and act on a random good idea, for example, to jump off the couch, shouting in front of a sleeping German shepherd because it might be fun, not thinking that the dog might get scared and wake up and try to snap at you. All right, let's go on to the next one, the introvert and feeler. They can be rigid and critical, cautious, unhappy, and unsocial. This is the child that is, this is the kind of kid that can have a fabulous day at Disney World, and because one thing did not go her way, the whole day can be ruined. And she will remember that one thing that ruined her day 32 years later. Frustrations include second guessing your ability to parent because this child can seem depressed too often. To add to that insecurity, they can easily see and point out what you are doing wrong as a parent. How to discipline them can also be a frustration and challenge because when you want to give them a timeout, they appear to be grateful to be able to spend time alone in their room with a book or their thoughts. The next one is your crafty, reckless, domineering, relentless, and cold child. If you find yourself exhausted and in battles of the will that can last for hours because of your child's strong will, you know you'll have a child with this personality. Frustrations may include fearing that your child will become a criminal because they don't show a lot of remorse and are willing to do whatever they want. Their teachers might share that concern because they can be the class bully. These children really do have little or no regard for rules and will suffer almost any consequence to do or get what they want. The last type that I'll describe is your introvert thinker who is indecisive, compromiser, conflict avoider, lacks conviction, and tends to be more of a spectator. This is the child you do not worry too much about at first. If you put them in a timeout as a toddler and get distracted for an hour and come back to the stairs, they're still sitting there, just waiting for your return. But as they start going to school, you see that they don't have much to tell you about their day. And when asked, they give one-word answers like, it was fine, or I don't know. They aren't motivated to do their homework. They will do it, but just enough to get by. They can be led easily by other kids, forget some important facts that might be relevant to what you need to know, and can be pretty sneaky. If you have a toddler like this, enjoy the feeling that you are a great parent because there will be a time when even the weaknesses of this compliant child will start to show. Now, I want to give you a perspective change that I said will minimize your frustration. Here are some truths about your children's personalities. First of all, it's important to remember that strengths and weaknesses are one and the same trait. They're not two different traits. We tend to want to say that here's my children's strengths and their personality, and here's their weaknesses. And we hope that we can, I'm going ahead of myself. I don't want to go there. Let's delete that for a minute. And let me show you what I mean by the fact that strengths and weaknesses are one and the same, not two. Let's go back to those personality types and look at this. The extrovert and feeler, the talkative kid, is also your enthusiastic kid. your forgetful kid that is so easily distracted and forgets their homework and their lunch and their coat, or it's also your spontaneous kid that can bring all kinds of joy to each moment and ordinary day. They have mood swings that are intense both ways. They can be truly despairing and yet then happy, and that can be concerning, but they can also be extremely passionate. They tend to be shallow and not think about things too deeply, but because of that, they don't think about negative things too much, and they're your pretty happy kid. Now let's look at the introvert and feeler. Yes, they can be rigid, but they're also incredibly detailed, and they're not going to forget things, and they are do a task well because they can focus on details. They are critical and see what's wrong, but they're also idealistic. And they have they are the ones who not only can see what's wrong, but they can also see how it would be right. And they have the way and can find the way to make things better. They are cautious. They're not going to be kidnapped easily, they're fearful, but they're also analytical, and they think things through well. And when they've thought something through, you know they haven't left anything out. They are unhappy, but they can be so empathetic. And they can feel deeply what others are feeling and have much compassion. They are unsocial. They don't need lots of friends, but they are loyal to the friends they have. They make a few close friends, and the loyalty is something that we all can benefit from. Your extrovert and your thinker, they are crafty, but they are resourceful. And there really isn't a problem that they can't figure out how to solve and find the resources to make it happen. They are reckless, but they are also fearless. And fear will not get in their way of doing things that they are committed to and that they think is right. They are domineering, but they make great leaders. And that is something that is valuable in this world. They are relentless, but they're determined. So, you know, it's hard when they're being relentless with you, but to remember that they are determined people and little gets in their way. They are cold. They don't care too much about feelings, theirs or others, but then they're not driven by their feelings. They can stay consistent and committed. Your introvert is decisive because they see all sides, and it's easy for them to see all sides. They're compromisers, but they are peaceable. They're compromisers over most things, many things, because they don't care that much. But if they do believe in something, they can stand their ground. But because they don't care a lot about a lot of things that others care deeply about, they are more peaceable and easy to get along with. They're conflict avoiders, but they're agreeable. They can lack conviction, but they can also be very calm. They're spectators, and they more like to watch other people do their thing. And sit back and either be entertained or judged. But with that comes a stability and a warmth that is calming and quite pleasant to be around. Okay. So now it's time to have a perspective change on these things. And there's just a couple points that I want to make. First is to remember to be grateful for the strengths when frustrated by these weaknesses. This only takes a minute for us to remember that, you know, we're not talking about two separate traits, but want different sides of the same coin. I like to use the example of my husband because he's one of those introvert thinkers. And so sometimes I see him as rather boring, just agreeable, but he doesn't seem to really care too much about what we do to spend time. And I'm all excited about a date, and he is like, no, I don't care. I don't care. Sometimes I think, you don't care. Don't you care about being with me? So, yeah, he's happy and content with very little, and is not going to get too excited about all the things that I want him to get excited about. So he can be boring. He can be somewhat rigid. He can be somewhat detached and a spectator. And yet he is my calm in the storm. He is my rock. He is my anchor. He is the one that keeps me grounded and stable. And I'm very grateful for him. We can have these same perspectives about our children. My child who is your child who is the troublemaker can also be the one who, when that is channeled for God, can be a great leader for good. So let's remember those things. Okay. Next point that we need to make is that these weaknesses will not and cannot be eliminated. This sounds like bad news, but it's actually good news. If you have a kid who is harsh and determined and strong-willed, you're not failing as a parent when you can't make them become compliant. And so this is important perspective change to have, to remember. You're not going to discipline your kid into a new personality. These weaknesses cannot be eliminated. As long as you try to do that, you're going to add to your frustration. But a perspective change to have is that you can come to accept and help your children accept their weaknesses. Yeah. When they get upset with themselves for being so emotional or so fearful, you need to let them know that God has a reason for giving us different personalities, and God has a reason for allowing these personalities in this life to have weaknesses, that you can accept that, and that will help them accept those weaknesses as well. And to do that, we want to look for improvement rather than elimination. If your child can sometimes remember her lunch, and sometimes remember where she put her library books, and sometimes will choose to get along and play with other kids in the way that they want to play instead of demanding their own way, that's improvement. They can do that sometimes. If they can take responsibility for their weaknesses and not blame it on others, that is growth and improvement. Yeah, look for that. And then I think it's good too to find ways to help them compensate for those weaknesses. That is another way to accept the weaknesses. Yeah. I learned that my kid that could forget to take things to school, that if we had things packed up and put by the door, that she could grab easily when she left, that would help a lot in the morning. You know, she'd have to stumble over the book bag to get out the door. The lunch box, that shows my age, whatever lunch container carrier they have now, if that's by the book bag with it open, because you can't always put what the food from the refrigerator in the bag, and you can't shut the lunch box or else they'll think it, the food's in there and forget it. But if you lay it by the book bag and have it open, there can remember it's time to go get my lunch out of the refrigerator, put it in the bag, and go on. If your child is fearful, then help them find ways to think differently or to find a way to help them feel safer in a task that is stressing them out because of fear. Get the point that I want to make? Look for ways to compensate and look for improvement rather than elimination. Okay. Another perspective change is that God wants you to see that you can use these weaknesses in your children and the frustrations that those weaknesses are going to cause to help them see their need for Christ, Jesus Christ, and his forgiveness. What do I mean by this? Many of us come to see our need for God because of our inability to love well and get along with people. And when we suffer the negative impact that has on our relationships, we begin to see we need something more than ourselves. This is what drew us to the gospel message. And yet I am concerned that as parents, we expect our children to overcome their relational inadequacies by self-effort and our effective discipline. How often do you see your child's misbehavior, their complaining or being mean, as an opportunity to share the gospel message with them? That message that states, to really be grateful or kind, they're going to need a new heart that only God can give them. And to receive this new heart from God, they must be reconciled to him by accepting their need for forgiveness, because they must admit that not only they can't be grateful or kind, that most of the time they don't even really want to be. This is what the Bible calls sin. And God offers forgiveness as a free gift, because not only our children, but none of us can earn his forgiveness through self-effort. The offer is received by admitting their need for forgiveness and accepting that Jesus is the only one who can give it. This gospel message is the Easter story that we are celebrating this week. And if you don't know it, you can read it in the Bible, in one of the first four books of the New Testament called the Gospels. As Christians, many of us love to share this message with friends, neighbors, and coworkers when they are beginning to experience their failures and hurts in relationships. But when it comes to our children, too often we tend to tell them we're disappointed in them and they need to try harder. If this applies to you as it did to me, God wants to change your perspective. And he wants us to see that even though, yes, we will discipline our children for misbehavior and for being unkind, and we want to teach them that this is something that is important to get along with people, we need to add that we know that they can't do this on their own, that they need God's help, and that Jesus is the one that offers that. Another thing that we want to see is that And through their weaknesses, we can help our children come to recognize and appreciate not just their need for Jesus, but also their needs for each other. It was fun to see my two daughters, who are so very, very different, benefit from each other. My introvert, who is shy and fearful and cautious, always sent her little sister to go get more ketchup at McDonald's when we were out to eat. She was the one that would make the phone calls for her and be with her when she had to do something that was difficult. When I asked my extrovert how she needed and appreciated her introverted sister, she told me that she knew she was impulsive and that she didn't think things through, and that her sister's cautiousness and that her taking the time to think things through and making her sister slow down saved her a lot of trouble that she would have gotten into herself. So God wants us to not only see our need for him, but he made us to be interdependent on one another. And while in this life, before we get to heaven where everything is right and we can live the way that God intended us to, he wants us to use our weaknesses to see our need for each other and appreciate the strengths that we can have in each other. Last, I want to say that you want to give your children a vision for how God can bring good out of their weaknesses. I have a friend who's had a son who was the one in trouble all the time at school. He was the one that came up with the great ideas for tricks on other kids and teachers. And he was the one that was, just leading the pack and doing honorary things. Yes, they disciplined that. But they also told him that there was a vision for him on how he could use that. And they knew that he had, because of this trait, that he could be a great youth leader and lead many kids to Christ one day. And that is what he is doing as an adult. There are my strong-willed daughter, when we were in the battle of the wills, and it seemed like, especially through the teen years, we were, in battle a lot, I needed to remember and I needed to remind her that I was so glad that she was strong-willed, because no one was going to talk her into something that she didn't want to do. She would be able to lead others, and I was grateful for that. My more fearful one, who liked to sit back, and the one who can be more critical, she is also the cautious one, the loyal one, the dependable one, that I don't know how my life and others could be as enriched if she wasn't there. So when you see the weaknesses and you're really battling with them, remember that there's strengths to this. Remember that you want to not just tell them to, stop, but you want them to see that they need help with this from Jesus. Help them appreciate people that have strengths that they don't, and give them vision for how God can use them even with their weaknesses. This will help you appreciate your children's personalities more. But in closing, I need to bring up one more point, because we're not going to be able to maintain an appreciation unless we have this perspective. And here's the perspective God wants us to have. The best way to appreciate and enjoy your child's personality is to allow God to use those frustrating traits to grow and change you into a more patient, kind, joyful, and gentle responder. What I want to point out here is that we want to think our kids can make us frustrated and miserable, but it is really our reactions to their behaviors and then blaming our children for our bad reactions that cause the stress and the frustration much more than our kids' behavior. We all know this to be true, even though we forget it a lot. Because on those days when things seem to be going well, we've had enough sleep, we've gotten to exercise, and have had some alone time, so we're in a better mood and our kids act up, there are days when we can respond well and patiently and laugh with them and give them grace and love. And guess what? On those days, we're not as bothered by our kids' weaknesses. You know, it's on those days when we want things going our way, when we are believing that, you know, people make us act a certain way, that then we have poor responses, and those are the harder days. And so God wants to use these opportunities in these times to help grow you so you can be a better responder. I like to apply James 1, a passage on trials, to this principle and to dealing with our kids' weaknesses. And so this is the way I say it. When your kids' personalities are driving you crazy, don't view them as intruders, but welcome them as friends. Realize that they are opportunities to strengthen your faith and to produce in you the quality of endurance. Let God fully develop that endurance, and you will find you've become that you will have a Christ-like character with the right sort of independence. What is the right sort of independence? We can be patient and we can endure no matter what kind of mood our kids are in, what they are struggling with, because our response is not dependent on them behaving a certain way. That's what I have for today. I can't wait until we can be together again, because I would love to have questions and a discussion with you about this, but hopefully we will be doing that soon. Goodbye.